When we came today, it was such an incredible experience because what God did was he started speaking like God always does. You know, I mean, we're his sheep and he's our shepherd. And if we ask him to speak, if you start really in your heart asking to hear God, God's going to start speaking to you. Now, you're going to have to recognize that as God. You're going to have to put faith in what you hear is God. But God will start speaking to you. But what he started doing today was confirming that there was a whole group of us here and we were all in different places and we were all hearing God. And everybody was hearing things that were connected with what somebody else was hearing. So at the end of it, when we all came together and we all just kind of shared what we felt like God was saying to us, everybody had a connecting part to a bigger story. How many of you know that's like our lives? That is so much like our lives. We have this incredible God who is so concerned with us individually. He is so concerned with us, just us. But God has a great network of miracle power going in all the earth. And I'm connected to you, and you are connected to you. And each one of you have a part in this great wide world that God has made here. And I love it when you see God bringing people together to confirm things. Because what that does is it builds faith. It builds just this rock solid faith in, hey, I heard God. And this is more than just for me. And God can actually speak to me. And when you actually clue in that you can hear God and God is speaking to you, and then it's the words of the living God that lives up in heaven, you start acting out and doing things that you might not ever have done before. It gives you the ability, like we talked about last week, to when things are placed in your life, when you can recognize that, man, I can hear God, what that does is it gives you the ability to step out with what God's giving you. It gives you this ability to be able to actually step out and be and do and say things, because it's not you. That's not you. That's God. And God never lets his word fall to the ground. And God always sends his word out to do what it's called to do. So we have that confidence when we're hearing God that God is going to back what he is saying to us. And so that was one of the words today that we heard that was so important for me personally, was that when we blow our trumpet, how many of you know when Gideon was up on that hill about to invade a great army? He wanted to know that when he blew that trumpet, that God was going to be moving along with that trumpet with him. How many of you agree with that? How many of you have been in a situation and you're like, God, when I step out and do this, I'm believing that you're going to step out and do this with me. Because, man, we would look like fools a whole lot of times, would we not? Man, if God didn't back me sometimes, if God didn't back me every time I get up here, I would look like a fool. I don't doubt that at all. I know that I would. But one thing I know is when we step out in faith like Gideon did and we blow that trumpet, God blows that trumpet right behind us. That's how miracles come into earth, is when we step in obedience and we do and say what God told us to do and say. So that was just really wonderful. I love this church. I love the environment. I love the presence here. I always sense the presence of God every time I walk into this room, even if it's dark and all the lights are off. When you come in here, I'm telling you, God is well pleased. I know that. God is well pleased. We're going to jump into where we were last week. Remember what I told you is that we are coming out of rejection. We are a church. We are people that are going to learn how to face that spirit of rejection, and we're going to learn what to do with it. We're going to learn how to handle our rejection, because everybody is going to face rejection in their life. How many of you have already faced it this week? How many of you have already been in situations and the enemy has already used people or words or thoughts of rejection against you this week? Let me tell you, it's Wednesday, and I've already had 3 battles with that spirit of rejection already, and it's only Wednesday. I'm telling you, I am determined to defeat that spirit of rejection and everybody I come in contact with. I'm determined when that spirit of rejection decides to come and attack me, that I'm a free people all around me. Because we have authority over demons. You guys know that. We were given that by Jesus. And we are going to be people that exercise that in the earth. So today, last week, I loved what we talked about. Last week was one of those secret heavenly revelations that God had given me in the deepest oppression part of my rejection. And last week what we talked about was when rejection comes to oppress you, when it comes to oppress you, what you receive from God in that oppression is supernatural. It can open up a new heaven on earth. How many of you remember the Canaanite one we talked about last week? It can open up a revelation that God has for earth that has yet to come down to earth. But when we allow that to push us so close to Him, what that accesses for us is God. It makes God big. It makes God glorious. And so we in our lives need to look at every situation that we're facing like that little woman. Like there is something more that I understand, God, my mind can't comprehend right now. I understand that I have not been taught, but I know that because I'm in this, there is something so much more that you're wanting to put from heaven through earth through me. And we have a faith in believing that and activating that and walking that out through allowing rejections to press us completely into God, which is the opposite of what the enemy wants it to do. Through allowing that, we are allowed to move into new places for us, for our family, for everybody that we are given. Her whole entire race, do you understand, through her at that moment, because it happened for her, received that. Received that Savior that she had found in Jesus. So we need to be aware that oppression, that rejection, should do things between us and God that only it can do. That rejection should allow us to move into areas of God deeper than we've ever been before. And also, what we talked about last week is how rejection inhibits us from stepping out and doing things that God has placed inside of us to do. Being aware that when we do not see ourselves producing fruit, when we do not see ourselves using all the things that God has called us to do, we need to look and see, is that rejection in our life? Is that lies of the enemy in our life that's keeping us from having what we need in here to step out and to be able to be and do with the faith that we need to all that God called us to be? So last week we talked a lot about what God does in us through rejection. And I want y'all to understand that rejection should give you a greater knowledge of God than you've ever had before. But tonight what we're going to talk about is, I'm going to do a lot more teaching than preaching, so I'm going to stay by my notes, and I'm not going to turn a page until I'm sure I've said what I said. I want to follow a pattern. We'll see how well that goes. But that's my plans, because God showed me these things in an order, in a sequence. And He explained them to me in a way that it taught me something. So tonight I want to teach you something that God taught me. And what this has to do with is the enemy's plan for rejection when it comes to us. When the enemy comes to us with rejection, he has a plan and a purpose. And he understands that plan and that purpose way better than we do. Because if we understood the plan and the purpose of him oppressing us, and putting us in rejection, we would do everything that we could to step out of it. So, the enemy's plans, the Bible tells us, you know, don't be foolish. Know what the enemy is doing. Be aware. Be aware of what's going on around you. We saw that with Jesus all the time. He knew exactly what God was doing, but he knew what the enemy was doing too. He was not immature. He was not ignorant. He was very wise in what God was telling him. So what I'm sharing with you tonight is my ignorance and where I was not wise in areas. But I'm going to tell you one thing. When God gives you a revelation of truth, it's your job to take it and run with it. And so tonight we're going to talk about the way the enemy, what his plan is in a rejection to you. Now, rejection, another word that goes right along hand in hand with rejection, is called oppression. The enemy uses rejection to move us into oppression. The enemy uses intimidation to move us into oppression. The enemy uses control to move us into oppression. Oppression is, I'm going to give you the term for oppression, because I love for us to understand what the plan of the enemy is when he comes to oppress us. It says, oppression is an unjust or cruel exercise of authority or power over us. Now, the enemy has no authority over us. Do you understand that? When we become saved, When we allow Jesus in our heart, we're His. He is our authority. And you know what Jesus did? He trusted us enough to give us authority. The enemy has no authority. He has none. He doesn't even have authority on earth over us once Jesus lives inside of us. But what He does is, with oppression, He comes to us like He has authority. And what oppression feels like is a hand that is pressing on your head and that is keeping you down. It is pushing you in the area that you're at, and it's keeping you from moving. How many of you have experienced that? How many of you, when you face rejection, it feels oppressing? It feels like, this is where I have to stay. This is my place. I can't move out here. This is a place that the enemy wants to keep you stationary and obedient to him. The Latin root for oppression means pressed against. So what the enemy comes to do with rejection is, he comes and he oppresses us, and he wants to take the words of rejection and he wants to press them against us. And he wants to press them so deep and so hard inside of us that we believe that's who we are. That we start to take on those thoughts and those lies of rejection, because he comes in a way that it is oppressing and it's pressing down, and we just allow it. We just allow it. I'm going to tell you, for my entire life, I just allowed it. Now, I would cry about it. I would be very hurt about it. I would be sad about it. But I allowed it. But I allowed those words to be pressed into me, to where my identity was wrapped up in the rejection that Satan had always targeted my life with. And that's the enemy's plan. But let me tell you what God's plan is. God's plan is this miraculous, beautiful thing, that when the enemy comes and he presses you with those lies, with those words, with that, remember what we talked about rejection is? It's when someone comes to you and they will deny your worth. You're the son of the king. You are the son and daughters of the king. You were made for such great things. That's the worth of every person that is on this earth. Every person. But when the enemy comes and he begins to press his lies of rejection into you, which is what oppression does, God's plan is for it to press us into Him, like we talked about last week. To press us into Him, to where we find out new revelations about who we are and who God is every time we stand in the face of that spirit of rejection. And you can do that. We saw David do that throughout the Bible. We saw that time and time again when rejection chased after a person throughout its life. If they allowed it to, it pressed them so close into God that they had a sure foundation that they were able to step out and do things that we at times only dream of doing. But the only difference between you and them, the only difference between me and them, is what I allow inside of me. It's what I allow inside of me. All right, so the enemy's plan for the rejection is to oppress you. But God's plan for that rejection is to help you find identity in Him. Now, rejection comes to us and it hurts. How many of you would agree with that? And it's so funny because we have two different types of people here. We have, you know, type A and type B. And some people will say, oh, no, it never hurts me. Oh, no, it never hurts me. And then you have that kind of people that say, oh, yes, it hurts me. Yes, it hurts me. Here, let me ask you something. For the other group that does not like for it to hurt you, when you face rejection, does it make you mad? How many of you, something in you rises up and you want to come at that person, which is really that spirit, and you want to resist that in every means necessary? In every means necessary. Well, I had a conversation with somebody not too long ago about this very point right here. And this is what we talked about last year in Freedom here in the summers. We talked about anger in this instance Anger, when it's in the face of rejection, is a secondary emotion. How many of you were in here for that teacher when we talked about that, about anger, and it's a secondary emotion? And what that means is when someone comes to you and they hurt or they embarrass or they wound you, you have learned so quickly to jump from hurt to anger, from humiliation to anger, from shame to anger, that you don't recognize those emotions almost in your life at all anymore. You just recognize them all as anger. I was one of those. I'm going to tell you, you can be freed from that. Because it is miraculous. My husband will tell you every single day, it is miraculous the amount of freedom God has brought in my life in that one area. I used to say, I have one emotion. I handle all of them through anger. I did. I handled every emotion I had through anger. And I taught myself well that. I just taught myself, you know, anger self-medicates. It teaches us how to be able to allow ourselves to defend ourselves and to heal ourselves. But we can never defend ourselves and we can never heal ourselves. And what we do is become a person who has anger all the time. Anger all the time. So anger is the secondary emotion. So what happens truthfully is when someone comes and rejects you, it does hurt you, but you immediately become angry. And the way that you stop that being your first emotion, because it is to be a secondary emotion, is that when you're angry, I did this for about a year and a half. When I was angry, I would stop myself and I would say, okay, all right, God, what am I really feeling? What have I learned? What have I taught myself to comfort myself with anger? What is the real emotion here? And it was usually embarrassment, or it was shame, or it was hurt. It was a wound. And from those things, those can be healed. Anger can't be healed. Anger can be released. Anger can't be healed. So what will happen is you will learn to go to the reason of the anger rather than living out the anger or wrestling with the anger. You don't have to wrestle with anger. You can release it. You can teach yourself to allow yourself to go back to the original wound and let God work on that. And then when you do that, that anger is released. So for all of you who jump straight to anger, I'm going to let you know that there really is hurt. That really is hurt. When someone comes and they reject you, what they're doing is they are hurting you. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Amazingly, God made our bodies that way. God supernaturally, I'm telling you, when God showed me this last year, because here was my life. I was at a place with God where I was growing and I was loving God. But man, last year, the enemy sent such an attack of rejection. Every time I turned around, there was a mouth that the enemy was using to reject me. And I kept on saying, God, why? Why? You know, we have taught ourselves when we are being attacked by that spirit of rejection, it's our fault. I'm going to tell you it's not. That is a lie. It is not. And when you walk into a season like I did last year and you are facing rejection around every corner, God is wanting to heal you of deep roots of rejection. That's why He's allowing you to face it. God lets us face things so we can come out of it. He lets us face things so we can overcome it. So, and one morning I just got up and I was like, God, this hurts. I was to a point in my life, this rejection, it hurts. Why does it hurt? And God really started to show and teach me some things that are true about rejection. All right, so rejection is supposed to hurt you. God made it that way. It has been medically proven. Psychologists have proven this scientifically in the medical profession. 5 truthful proven facts medically about rejection. Okay? And these will blow your mind. I'm telling you, it so freed me. It made me feel not weak and puny anymore when I realized God made us this way. So number one, one of the proven medical facts about rejection is, number one, rejection piggybacks on physical pain pathways in our brain. So what that means is the way that pain, physical pain, comes through your brain, rejection follows that same neurological path to your brain. An MRI of us shows that the same areas of the brain become activated and alerted when we experience rejection, just as when we experience physical pain. So when you experience pain, pain, you have all of these signals in your mind your body that are going off and telling your brain, this hurts, this hurts, this hurts. Well, God made your body to receive rejection that same way. So when you come and you face rejection, God intended it to be something that alerted you, hey, pain, pain, pain. And there's a reason for that. In fact, our brain responds so similarly to rejection and physical pain that you can take Tylenol and it reduces the amount of emotional pain that you receive from rejection just like you do from physical pain. Is that not amazing? It is amazing the way that God creates us and how He orders our bodies to operate. Number three, rejection mimics physical pain in the brain. So when it comes to our brain and it says, this hurts, it does hurt. We might not have a cut or a jab, but we have inside of us something that has tried to step in and cut into our soul. And what happens is our brain is telling us, this hurts. Let me tell you again, rejection hurts. God made you that way. Lastly, we can relive and re-experience pain caused from rejection more vividly than we can physical pain. And the reason is the part of our brain that prioritizes the memory of rejection is different than the part of our brain that prioritizes the memory of pain from physical pain. So when we have rejection, and it comes to our mind, and it comes to us in the same neurological way, our bodies are told to keep the pain, the feeling, the memory right up here. It doesn't allow it to go back into the parts of our brain to where we don't remember and relive that. Now, I'm gonna have all of you experience that for a moment. Is that okay? All right, I want everybody in here to close your eyes. Just close your eyes and just get alone. And I want you to think of the last time that you really physically hurt. Whether it be a cut or a fall, something in your life, the last time that you physically remember having great pain. And see if you can relive that pain. I know that sounds creepy, but see if you can bring back up the feelings that are connected with that memory. Okay, and stay right there. Then I want you to, in your mind, go back to a time in your life. It could be young, it could be last week, mine could be a couple months ago. You can go back to a time in your life to where you were really rejected. Where someone came up and knowing how special you are to God, how special He has made you, they made you question that. They came to you and they hurt you and belittled you in a way that it cut you to your core. And then I want you to see if you can remember the feelings and the pain that were associated with that. If you can, without opening your eyes, I want you to raise your hand. If you can remember the pain of that person rejecting you. Okay. All right, everybody can come back out of that horrible, isn't that terrible to do? I kept on thinking, should I do that? Should I not? Should I do that? I wanted you to understand something. Our bodies are made by God. And they're made to respond certain ways. And there is so many good reasons why God has our bodies. And we are just now beginning to learn so many different areas and why our bodies function this way. We're on the back end of learning. God is on the forefront of creating. We will catch up one day, I believe, to where and how God has caused our bodies to supernatural. When we get to heaven, God will explain all this to us. But there's certain things that we need to understand. God made us and He made us good. And the way that God made us, it tells us something. Okay? So our brain prioritizes pain in a way that we can remember it from rejection. There's a reason for that. Our bodies, when rejection comes to us, it hurts. There's a reason for that. So we're going to break down some reasons for that, okay? Number one, why does it hurt? Well, let me ask you a question. If you had a cut on your leg and you had no feeling in your leg, if you couldn't feel it and that leg was cut, what would happen to that leg? Unless you were actually able to see it and recognize it, that pain that that your leg tells you is hurting is to tell you, hey, this needs to be taken care of. This needs to be fixed. This needs some ointment. This needs to be healed. There's reasons that our body alerts us for pain. It's not because we have a weird, twisted God. That's not why. It's to tell us, hey, this needs to be fixed. If you leave this untreated, what's going to happen is this is going to become a fester, infection, sick place inside of your body. And if it stays that way as a pain, what will happen is it will either cause your life to be threatened or to cause your quality of life to be threatened. How many of you would agree with that? If you leave something in your life untreated, a wound, an ailment, if you leave it untreated, it will eventually cause your way of life, your quality of life to be threatened, or your life to be threatened. Now, there's a reason that rejection comes to us that way. Because rejection, when it settles down into us, when it settles into that place, and we go on through life, the thing about it is, it's there. And it's like an infection. And it's caused there, that the enemy has placed it there, is to either alter our quality of life or to threaten our life. Because rejection tells you you are not who God says you are. And what you need to be able to succeed and make it in life defies what that spirit of rejection has placed inside of you. And so when we come face to face with that rejection and we allow it in, it is a wound. It is a wound, and we need to be okay, church. We need to be okay saying, this hurts. You don't have to go tell everybody. You don't even have to tell your best friend. And I'm going to advise you, a lot of times, don't tell the person that's hurting you. That a lot of times does not work well. Unless that is somebody that you are intimate with, I'll tell you, me and my husband, we love each other. And the more you love each other, the more open you are with each other, the more walls that are down with each other, the more that you are allowing someone to feel you, and God loves that, but the more that that person's words can cause wounds in your life. Do you agree with that? They just can, because you've let down those walls in that area. Now, someone that you are not real personal with, they can come and they can reject you, and it will hurt you. And if you have deep roots of rejection, it will go to those deep roots of rejection. But the more you love someone, you see this in Jesus' life. You know, Jesus surrounded himself with a lot of people, then a little bit closer with a few people, then really close with a few men. How many of you know that? Let me tell you why. Jesus could trust those men. Jesus could let his walls down. Jesus could call that man my beloved. You know what I believe? I believe that that man treasured Jesus' heart. And when you're in intimate relationships with people, you should be growing to treasure each other's heart. You should be learning what wind comes out of your mouth, if you're being led by that spirit of rejection or not, towards them. And it should cause us to really guard our mouth with people that we love a whole lot. So the other day, me and my husband were on our way to church. I don't everybody get into arguments on the way to church. Just the way that happens. So then you get in church and you're like, oh, I'm so not holy. All right, so we were on our way to church the other day. And it started out so sweet. He's okay if I told you this because we've talked about this. And it started out so sweet and it started out so innocent. And then it ended up being where I said something that was not rejection. It was not rejection. At first, I said something, because one thing about rejection is rejection causes someone to hurt. Now, when you are manipulating and when you're intimidating somebody, you're not causing hurt in their life. You're causing fear in their life. I mean, you agree with that. So when you're somebody and they're trying to manipulate, I'll tell you, I was completely trying to manipulate him. I was. I was not trying to reject him. I was trying to manipulate him like all of us good wives do sometimes. And we have to get under the grace of God and say, this does not work. So I was trying to manipulate him through just a wife's way of trying to get him to see my side. And my side was wrong. It was. So he, out of that fear that I'd allowed myself to let that spirit of fear open up and speak into him, he turned around and rejected me. Now, rejection is my, it is my life battle. He knows that. He knows that. And so he turned around and he rejected me. He said something that cut me. And instantly, because God has taught me, when something like that comes, that's rejection. I was like, that's rejection. But that is not true. So instantly I look at him and I said, that is not true. And I said, you don't believe that. Because when rejection comes, you've got to do something with it, right? When it comes to you, you got to do something with it. You can let it in, or you can say, that's not true. And I said, that's not true. You don't believe that way. And he said, no, I don't. He said, but that's not true either. You don't believe that way. And the truth is, both of us were able to recognize quickly those spirits that were working in our relationship, because when it hit us, it hurt me. And when it hit him, it caused fear. And when you can be in those situations and you feel that spirit trying to penetrate your heart, the best thing for you to do is apologize, speak the truth, and get out of it. Apologize. Don't sit there for an hour saying, oh, and cast down. Just apologize. Speak the truth. I'm not going to do that again. I might, but if I do, I'm going to ask God to forgive me. I'm going to recognize. I'm going to get quicker at the enemy. But I'm going to tell you, I used to live so rejected. I used to battle rejection that when it came to me, it felt like it was me. It was such an attack from the enemy that even from birth, and me and my mom have talked about this, and we talked about this recently. She has said, because there was four kids and I was the fifth, and my gosh, I can't even imagine having four kids raised, getting them off to school, and then finding out you're pregnant again. The year you get one off to school, I'm going to tell you, I would cry. I know I would cry. I have just gotten all four of mine off to school. It's a wonderful season, but it's good season when that goes. You know, it's a good when it's here and it's good when it goes. And so she has said a lot of the times that she was pregnant with me that she just did not want to be. She just didn't want to be. And I, you know, and I'm going to tell you, I understand that. Now, for years, I could not say that without, oh, just weeping and crying. It hurt. It was such a deep root of rejection. But God, last year, through all of those faces of rejection that I was having to face time and time again, God pulled that root out to where now me and her can talk about that, and I completely understand that. And it don't hurt me because it's healed. When you allow rejection to be healed at its roots, it will move to a place to where it tries to come in and hurt you, but you don't allow it. But you don't allow it. You don't allow it. All right, I'm way off, so let me find back where I'm at. All right. What we really do if we allow that lie of our self-worth. All right, so when we're in a situation and rejection comes to us, and rejection comes and knocks on our door, if we allow it in, we allow that self-worth, that no self-worth to come in, but if it hurts, if it hurts more than that situation should hurt. How many of you ever experienced that? How many of you ever walked into a situation and you've experienced somebody just rejecting you? I mean, this is a... How many people... There's not nice people. I saw somebody today in El Dorado do something crazy on the road. I mean, insanely rude. We don't live in a sweet world. How many of you know that? We don't. We live with a lot of people who honestly reject you all the time. We just, I think, overlook a whole lot of it. But sometimes when we are face to face with that spirit of rejection and it comes to us and it hurts us more than it should, what happens there is it has triggered a root. it's not just came in like at the normal brain pathway and it said, this hurts. What's happened is it's came in and it's found a root. It's found a deep place where you were horribly rejected, or where that lie has came in and penetrated your heart so deeply. And when that comes in, we don't have anything to fight it with. And it finds that root and it settles there. That's why we can face rejection and it can hurt us so much more than it should. All the enemy needs to know is that he can oppress you with rejection, and he's going to trail you with rejection all of your life. If rejection does not affect you, if you learn how to conquer rejection, if it's not going to oppress you, then you know what's going to happen is he's not going to trail you with it. He's going to find out that every time he brings the spirit of rejection through somebody or in some way, that it's going to cause you to become stronger. He's going to quit oppressing you with that spirit of rejection. But if he finds that you have all of these deep roots of rejection, and if he can come and just have somebody that is just mean, they're just mean people. They're just mean people. If he can find that you can, that somebody that you don't even have a connection with can say something to you, and it can go to that deepest part in you and wound you, the enemy is going to cause that every single day that you let it. Every single day that you let it. One disgusting trait of this spirit of rejection is that it wants to reject you, but it wants you to carry this feeling that it was my fault. And I've seen that in the church so much. I'm just going to tell you, I've seen that in the church so much. I've seen people when they're really hurting, when they really are in a place where the enemy has penetrated their heart with lies of rejection, I've seen us at the church turn to them and say, Oh, you have a spirit of rejection. Oh, honey. And I'm going to tell you, that's not right. That's not right. Because I'm going to tell you, the mouth of rejection is the mouth of the enemy. The mouth of rejection is the mouth of the enemy. So, when you see someone hurting, when you see someone suffering from lies about themselves, from the enemy's lies of rejection, we need to teach that person how to be healed. We need to teach that person how to allow God to go into their spirit and to pull out those roots of rejection, just like that Canaanite woman did. We need to teach that lady how to utilize this opportunity to allow this moment to take that situation and allow God to heal it. And then we need to teach the church. We need to learn, church, how to cast out demons. Because I'm going to tell you that every time that spirit of rejection comes to you, it is an opportunity for you to cast it out. It is an opportunity for you, like Isaiah 61 said, to set the captives free. It is an opportunity for you to allow the enemy to be defeated through his very own words. But before we can move into that, we have to allow God to heal us. And we've got to allow God. I'm going to tell you, last year, all last 3 months of last year, I was in a secluded time, in a secluded season, and I was letting God heal me. I would have people come up to me all the time and say, why are you not out? Why are you not engaging? Why not? I said, you don't understand what God's doing, but I do. God's healing me. God had me in a separated time, in a specific season, and he was uprooting all of those roots of rejection. And I'm telling you, he's a healer. When rejection comes to you and it stays in that forefront and it will not go into the back of that memory, that's not to torment you. That's for you to remember that you have a healer. That's for you to remember when you come in contact with that demon and it tells you what you're not and it hurts you deeply, more than that demon should have the power over to oppress you, that you have a healer now and you have a healer back 10 years ago when that demon came at you before. See, God will go back to every single wound of rejection and He will pour healing into it. We see Jesus did this. I'm going to tell you, throughout the Bible, you see Jesus going up to the mountain. How many of you remember that? Jesus would go to the mountain. Jesus would go to the mountain. If you'll start looking through your Bible, Jesus went to the mountain a whole lot after He faced rejection. When He came face to face with that spirit of rejection operating through His brothers, operating even through the disciples, that hurt Jesus. You know how I know it hurt Him? Because His body was made that way. He had a body exactly like we do. And Jesus would go and retreat to that place with God, and He would allow God to speak to Him. Jesus said, everything I say, I hear the Father say. Everything I do, I see the Father do. I'm going to tell you that what you say needs to be what your Father has said to you. It needs to be like that little Canaanite woman. It needs to be exactly like the great faith that she had. I might look like a dog to everybody around me, but to you, you're my master. You're my master. So what my challenge to you guys tonight, and what I'm just going to ask you to just start tonight, but I want you guys to really this week, I want you really this week to take this to God. Everybody has roots of rejection. Everybody has roots of rejection. And God is the only healer. And when you come face to face with that spirit of rejection, because each one of you will, we will be rejected. Jesus was the most rejected man on earth, and He never sinned. You will be rejected. The enemy hates you. And it triggers a pain. Man, let God heal that. Say, that hurts, God. That hurts. And let God speak to you what you need to hear. Because His words heal us. But if, when you are face to face with that spirit of rejection, and you know that it causes a wound, that there is no chance that that spirit would have the ability to cause unless it was deeply, deeply festering, if it was deeply, deeply rooted in you, then realize that is just like that little woman. That is just like me. God wants to pull out roots, and He wants to pour in destiny. He wants to pour in worth. I'm going to tell you, Christmas Eve this year, I'll never forget it. But I sat on my bed after I put my kids in bed, and I cried. Oh, I cried. I cried and I cried. And for years I had cried when I had been rejected. But they were cries of self-pity. They were cries that were saying, I can comfort myself. I used to say, if I can just cry, I get it out and I go on. If I can just cry, I'll get it out and I can go on. I'm going to tell you, you can cry and you can cry those tears out, but you can't get that rejection out. You can't heal yourself. You can't heal yourself. And I laid on that bed this year and I said, God, you know what? You have allowed this because you're wanting to do something that is so much deeper than what I could even understand. Let me tell you what God did. He laid right beside me on that bed. And He bottled up in a little valve every tear. Now let me tell you, those tears of self-pity, He didn't. Those tears of feeling sorry for myself, He didn't. But when I was crying tears of healing, God bottled those up for me. And He sat there in my ear most of that night. And He whispered things to me that I had never known. I had maybe heard or I'd maybe saw. But He whispered things to me that I needed to know years ago. Things that I needed to know 5 years ago. Man, walking out of divorce with two kids, There are things that the enemy can place inside of you that God's words can only heal. And he began to whisper things. And my husband would come in there and he was so sweet. And he would say, honey, I want to help. I want to make it better. And I would say, baby, you can't fix this. But let me tell you something. These are tears of healing. These are tears of healing. God is doing something that is bigger than what I understand tonight. And that night, I'm going to tell you, God uprooted some roots of rejection by being face to face with that spirit of rejection. And what walked out of that year into this year is a woman who will cast out demons. Who every time that spirit of rejection comes face to face, because it came to me yesterday. And here's what I do when it comes to me now. It'll come and I will resist. I don't do it publicly. I don't do it openly unless God tells you to. God usually won't tell you to. But here's what you do. You turn around and you say, I command you, demon, devil, fallen angel, spirit of rejection, to loose this person that you are sending here to try to oppress me. Because just because I'm free is not enough. Do you know Jesus said that? I declare through the mighty name of Jesus that they are set free. And you will set free people out of the rejections that the enemy sends against you day after day after day, where eventually the enemy's going to give up. He's going to get tired of losing. But it's going to start with you allowing God to heal you and being okay saying, it hurts, but you're my healer. I want everybody tonight just to close your eyes. This is not we don't have time tonight to even get into it. We're going to get into it much more next week. But I just want you to make a commitment to God. I want you to say, God, I'm committed to you this year to allowing you to pull out every root of rejection that the enemy has deceitfully changed, placed in my heart. I will not be okay allowing those roots to set in my spirit and fester and hold me back from stepping out, believing you, and walking into the anointing that you have called me to walk in. Everybody, eyes up here, I want to tell you something. You know, David was one of the most rejected men in all the Bible. We're going to talk about that in a couple weeks. Do you know what David found out of his rejection? You know, there's a scripture that David said, and he said, the stone that the builders rejected became the what? The cornerstone. You know what that means? That means other stones are going to be carved from you. So everywhere that you have been rejected, every place that you have been rejected, God wants to form such a material that people around you are formed from your faith. You're a cornerstone in the making. You're a cornerstone in the making. Father, right now, Lord, I pray and I believe that the words tonight that were spoken, that they allow, Father, that the spirit of rejection, they open the eyes of the blind, and that when rejection comes, we aren't deceived. We see it for what it is. And that as we see that rejection trying to penetrate our heart, that we allow you to heal us and to use us. In Jesus' name we pray.